The killing of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia received little attention in February. Later, after a video circulated, it became big news, fueling protests across the nation. Here's Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms earlier this week speaking about the case.
It's heartbreaking. It's 2020, and this was a lynching of an African-American man.
Two white men are now charged with murder, and social justice activists are now assessing how to mobilize while adhering to the constraints imposed during this pandemic. Opal Tometi is co-founder of Black Lives Matter, and she's been thinking a lot about this and the role of BLM 7 years after its inception. Opal joins us now. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Opal, you know, Ahmaud Arbery's death in the minds of many is, of course, reminiscent of Trayvon Martin's death and so many other cases over the years. I can imagine it's the same for you.
Yeah, it is extremely saddening to see that even in this moment where so many of us are grappling with the pandemic, we are still seeing these types of horrific cases where unarmed Black people are being targeted and killed. And sadly, Ahmaud, the story here is just too familiar to us.
Yeah. You launched the initial social media and website for Black Lives Matter back in 2013. In some ways, it was reimagining digital activism because it was so new back then and was really one of the major ways this movement got going. In the years since, people have been questioning whether this online activism translates to change. I'm just wondering from you, 7 years later, and now with COVID-19 changing how really activists can gather physically, what do you see as the role of Black Lives Matter?
You know, it was so important for us to start utilizing social media because we knew that we needed spaces that we could be unapologetic about who we are, about what our concerns were. And so true to previous social movements, you know, the civil rights movement and beyond, we are making use of whatever the tools are at our disposal for the given time. And so it's not too dissimilar from what maybe a Dr. Martin Luther King would have done with the newspaper or television and beyond. So we're just using the means that we have for our time to make similar concerns to those of our ancestors known.
But building upon that, you know, along with those digital spaces, which have become even more important during the time of COVID-19, the ground mobilization that took place, particularly after Ferguson and the death of Michael Brown back in 2014, that in-person protest was super powerful. You know, we have no idea what the future holds for us, but have you been thinking about what the future of in-person protest might look like now with COVID-19 and this post-pandemic world that we expect to see? And also knowing that we've actually seen protests happening throughout the country where people are still gathering because they understand the power of being in person with each other, but they're taking all of those safety measures that health officials are telling us to do.
Nothing will ever replace human beings gathering together. And so much of what we did, even on the creation of Black Lives Matter, was using those new media tools to share with each other and to connect with each other, but it was so that we could mobilize in person. One of the things that I found so heartening in this time was, despite the fact that we're in the midst of this pandemic, we saw this amazing movement for justice for Ahmaud emerge, where people were running for Ahmaud. They were doing all that they could to elevate his name. We're also seeing similarly with the case of Breonna Taylor, the EMT who was killed in her home. People are beginning to say her name and uplift this really tragic and recent case that was only just a month ago. And people are saying, you know, enough is enough. Despite the pandemic, we won't be distracted. Yes, people are social distancing. They're wearing their masks. They're being very safe as they do it. And I think that's important. I think that's going to be some of what we see here in the future. And we're not going to stop gathering and demanding change.
One of the major issues that really is the issue of this moment is the disproportionate amount of Black lives that have suffered and people who have died from COVID-19. Is this something that Black Lives Matter, the movement, is addressing, the systemic inequalities that are the reasons that we may be seeing this disproportionate amount of Black death?
Yeah, what I'm seeing come out from this large racial justice movement is that there are many different groups highlighting the fact that this isn't, you know, just happenstance or because we're negligent or doing something wrong, but we do have systemic issues in this society that allows for Black people to be impacted in this very acute way. And it's really disturbing. I know people who have passed away as a result of this virus. And it's something that I think we could have predicted, but to see it firsthand, it's been very, very difficult. But yes, our movements are definitely speaking up about this, are doing all that we can, from mobilizing online to getting together in person to organizing mutual aid and just being very creative about how we show up for one another.
Something that I've always wondered about, you know, a few years ago, the Black Lives Matter movement was listed as a terrorist organization. And this kind of labeling is not new in our nation's history. How have you navigated this?
It's been so disturbing to see how Black organizers and people who have the right, and we know we have the right, to speak out and to name injustice in our community and assert our dignity, that we're being mislabeled, that our message is being manipulated and misconstrued on purpose for an agenda that is rooted in white supremacy and racism. And we know that this has happened to many human rights leaders before us, from, you know, you have your Martin Luther King, you have your Rosa Parks, you have various leaders over the years who their actions have been maligned, right? And they weren't necessarily the most popular people in their generation, but history proves them right. And they knew that they were right, and they had the moral high ground. And it's been disturbing to see that, you know, even decades later, the lessons of those times haven't really been applied and haven't really been learned. And we're seeing the same type of malignment of our movements as well. And it puts us in danger. When we are the ones who are trying to, you know, make peace, they target us, they troll us, they try to put our private information online. And we have to take our own precautions to ensure our safety in this time and beyond.
What's next for you and Black Lives Matter and the role that it's currently playing? What are activists asking for as we deal with several major issues in our country?
What I see as what's next for our social movements is that we continue to grow, that they continue to feel safe joining organizations. It doesn't even have to be the formal network that we have, but there are many different groups across the country that are doing such phenomenal work, and we think it's important that at the local level, people get involved. We have an opportunity right now to transform the way things are done, and we've seen some wins over the years, and we need to see a fundamental transformation of our democracy. And so there are 351 people who have been fatally shot by police just this year. And that's, you know, despite this pandemic. And it's not just about the police brutality. And I think that's what people also are getting. They understand that issues of racism cut across all the spheres of our lives, including the healthcare sector, as we're seeing. And so I'm encouraging people just to continue to pay attention and to make sure that their voices and their concerns are known. And I think even as the elections are coming up, we have an opportunity to mobilize and encourage folks to get out the vote. And we're going to need us. We need all of us to show up and transform our nation.
That's Opal Tometi. She's a co-founder of Black Lives Matter. Opal, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.